Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Akron, Ohio, and earned a bachelor's degree in theology and philosophy from Regina Apostolorum in Rome, and two licentiate degrees in political moral philosophy and Christian moral theology. In 2007, he was ordained a Legionnaires of Christ priest. And from 2007 to 2016, he was the international director of the Patrons of the Arts of the Vatican Museums. What a job. His name, Father Mark Haidu. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Father Mark Haidu. Since 2016, he's been the national chaplain of the Lumen Institute. Father, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Thanks, Jack. Great to be with you.
As we embark on 2026, could you please lead us in an opening prayer?
Yeah, let's begin. In the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Well, Lord, we just thank you for the gift of a new year, all your graces, the way you've been present in our life throughout our own personal history and in the history of the world. We pray your blessing on us, our resolutions, our desires to improve. Give us strength and clarity and purpose, and bless all those that we love with your grace. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Let's go back. You're born, you're raised in Akron, Ohio. You're the sixth child, the fourth boy. Talk about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please.
Yeah, you're right. Born there in Akron, Ohio, there in 72, and mom and dad. Mom is Jackie and dad is Don, and mom comes from Pittsburgh, Pitcairn specifically, and then through her dad being transferred by Firestone to Akron, came there. And my dad, born and raised in Akron from an immigrant parent's mom, especially Italian, and so he was born and raised there, and they met. Interesting story from my dad's side is that his mom married a military guy and took him down to the Panama Canal where his brother was born, and then his dad went AWOL. So we never knew my blood grandfather. She came back from the Panama Canal with two little kids in 1944, all that way by planes, trains, automobiles, and settled back in Akron again. So from the very beginning, a little bit of struggle there for her. And yeah, kids.
What's the biggest thing that you learned from mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Oh, I think from mom, I learned faith, kind of forgiveness, perseverance, you know, like sticking with and working with people where they're at. I think my dad, I'd say like that dedication, hard work. Good work ethic. He was a great educator when it came to chores and responsibilities and not giving up when things were difficult, but pushing through. So I really have owe a lot to both of them, you know, who I love dearly. And then my brothers and sisters, I think I owe them a lot too. You know, as the youngest kid of six kids, you're always looking up and learning from your brothers and sisters.
Sometimes what not to do. Okay, where did you get your calling for the priesthood, Father?
I was really involved in my youth group. My parents were quite involved in their parish as well as a prayer group. And so through those experiences was exposed to the faith. And I'll admit, through tragedy too, I mean, my oldest brother, Victor Haidu, and rest in peace, don't want to start on a negative note, but he did die when I was 11. He ended up taking his own life. And so the family really rallied together around that tragedy. And the faith grew a lot, brought us together, brought our friends around us. So that really marked my childhood, is like that response of faith to tragedy. And I think that's where my vocation started, because it's, you know, you start asking your questions at a very young age, like what's the purpose and what happened and how does one lose hope and what motivates you and what's important, all those kind of things in my little young mind were floating around. And I think that's where it started.
Your love for art and history, where did that come from?
It's a good question. I think it was came a little bit later, maybe as I joined the seminary with the Legionaries of Christ. They have as their third year of seminary formation what's called the humanities, which is getting a degree in Greek and Latin and ancient culture, as well as art and history. So all those humanistic studies really opened my appetite to the history of the world, the big ideas that drove human history, humanity's wrestling through art and poetry and literature with the big questions of suffering and purpose and all that. And that just, as I read and it opened up my worldview, studying with guys from all across the world, you know, from South America or Mexico or Europe together in the seminary, also opened my eyes up. And I think it was there that my appetite got whet and then sent off to Rome to study. So it only accelerated being there in Rome in the heart of the church.
We're talking to Father Mark Hadou. As he mentioned, he was ordained 2007 as a Legionnaire of Christ priest. When we come back, we're going to ask him about the Legionnaires of Christ. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula. We're with Father Mark Hadou. If you want to learn more, www.legionaires, L-E-G-I-O-N-A-R-I-E-S, of Christ.org. Speaking of which, tell us about the Legionaries of Christ, please.
Yeah, I met them when I was studying at Steubenville, Franciscan U, and they specialize in, like, their focus is forming other people to become apostles, kind of imitating that Jesus that calls people together, the 12 apostles, forms them, and then sends them out to change the world. That's the aspect of the life of Jesus that we focus on. And so that really attracted me as a young, you know, college kid. It's like, yeah, it's true. The church is not like everybody's flocking to the church, but culture is shifting, and we need priests that are able to go out into culture and make the case for the gospel, present Jesus Christ, preach. And that really attracted me, and it's played out that way. I mean, we've had our own challenging history, but we continue to really feel called to, and I think, to the best of our ability, are forming and helping people live their faith. So,
we're talking to Father Mark Hadou. From 2018 to 2023, he was the chief development officer for the Legionaries of Christ. All right. The mission of the Legionaries is to form apostles. And the Legionaries have a love for Christ, a love for Mary, and a love for souls. I understand the love for Christ. I understand the love for souls. But many non-Catholics don't understand why you Catholics have this great love for Mary. You pray to Mary. Tell us about Mary.
That's a good question. Yeah, I think the simplest form is, well, Jesus loved his mom, and so do we. Like, he was devoted to her. He had her around. He entrusted her, you know, to John at the foot of the cross. And she was kind of the mother of the whole band of apostles. And so similarly, as Catholics rooted in Christ and in Scripture, we see all throughout, you know, respect and appreciation for Mary, and then early church fathers as well. Those first followers loved and venerated Mary, and so we do the same. So we really find in her someone who guides us towards Jesus.
All right. Many orders of nuns and priests take vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Members of the Legionaries take vows of humility, poverty, chastity, and obedience. Why humility? By the way, you live that humility very, very well. But why humility?
Well, actually, it was historically, we wanted religious who weren't pursuing like careers for their own aggrandizement and trying to kind of help the heart of our religious priests to pursue really Christ and his kingdom, and that is their only interest and not their self or promotion. And so we, the vow of our humility is not to pursue positions of authority or leadership for ourselves or to kind of work together to promote somebody else, to kind of avoid that kind of natural politicking that may happen in any organization. We wanted to encourage our religious to pursue humility. And then if they're called to those services, then they receive them and accept them, but they're certainly not promoting or pursuing as a kind of a careerism themselves.
If you want to learn more, www.legionariesofchrist.org. I mentioned earlier that the mission of the Legionnaires is to form apostles. Are you telling me that there's current-day apostles out there, Father?
Most definitely, yeah. Every baptized Christian is called to be an apostle, right? Somebody who follows Jesus and then who wants to help others discover Jesus and follow him. So we talk about revealing the love of Jesus to others and kind of accompanying them and informing them in that experience of love and then sending them out to help spread that kingdom of love to others. So I think every Christian is called to be an apostle or invited, you know, to that adventure. So we love it. And as we invite people into that and they start to order their lives more intentionally around Jesus and their faith with a community, such as Catholic communities in our parishes or in lay movements, et cetera, it's life-changing and takes your life to a whole new level of meaning and significance.
All right. Talking about taking your life to another level and significance, you're ordained a Legionnaires of Christ priest in 2007. Everybody's got to have a first job. The first job that Father Mark Haidu has from 2007 to 2016 is the International Director of the Patrons of the Arts in the Vatican Museums. What a way to start.
Yeah.
How'd you get that gig? How did you get that gig?
Well, you know, it's just like so many of us being in the right place at the right time or the right place at the wrong time, depending on how you look at it. But I was finishing up my studies. As we kind of mentioned earlier, I had a real love for history and the arts. I was already a guide of the Scavi in the Vatican there, helping lead groups through the excavation site underneath St. Peter's to the tomb of St. Peter, where his bones are kept still today. And so was in that world, even if in a small way, and this position opened up. And it just turned out that the one in charge of filling the role of the director was a Monsignor Bocardo, who was the secretary of the Vatican and city-state, and was very good friends with a mentor of mine and my superior, Father Alvaro. And so he asked, hey, Father Alvaro, do you know anybody, any American priests that could take this job? And after a year or two of not being able to offer him a name, and then when I was graduating or getting ready for ordination, Father Alvaro mentioned my name. So got called for an interview, and they said, hey, on a Friday, and they said, can you start on Monday? So it was a pretty quick process.
If you want to learn more, www.patronsvaticanmuseums.org. Patrons with an S, VaticanMuseums with an S.org. All right, Father, who are the patrons of the arts in the Vatican Museums?
It's a family of people, you know, association of people that want to preserve and promote beauty, right? So they gather around the Vatican collection and together as individuals or small groups sustain and support projects of restoration of the collection. So any collection needs restoration and maintenance over time, you know, and the Vatican's no different. And it's 12 different museums that gather together to form the Vatican Museums have hundreds of thousands of pieces of art that need restored. And so the patrons commit themselves to help the Vatican sponsor and pay for the restoration of all those works of art.
All right. Millions of us have gone through the Sistine Chapel, where there's 500 or 1,000 of us crammed into this little room. you've never experienced that. Because hundreds of times that you were in that room, you were there by yourself, 10 people, 20 people, 30 people. Tell us about this 133 feet by 46 feet and 62 feet high room, the Sistine Chapel.
Well, yeah, it's an amazing, you know, World Heritage Site, right? Like painted by Michelangelo in the early 1500s. You know, a beautiful story to begin with is that Julius II had asked Michelangelo to come to Rome from Florence as just a young man to do his tomb, right? To build the tomb that he would eventually use when he passed. And in the middle of that project, you know, some historians project others were trying to get Michelangelo's career a little sidetracked and frustrated, and so convinced Julius II to pull him off that job and send him to fix a cracked wall in the chapel inside the Vatican. And so a little frustrated, but he accepted the change in focus of his energies and started working on this wall, you know, on this chapel. And once he fixed the wall, he realized, you know, hey, why don't you repaint the ceiling? And so he was the first, you know, artist in history then to paint a pictorial cycle on a ceiling, right? Before it's always on the walls, but he covered the ceiling with that beautiful, as we know, history of the creation of the world, and then surrounding it with the prophets from the Old Testament and even some of the pagan sibyls and other prophets from the pagan world that foreshadowed a coming Messiah and created what we all know as the Sistine Chapel, and then eventually came back 30 years later and painted the Last Judgment on the main wall. So he did started his career and kind of hit the big time, so to speak, through painting the ceiling. And then at the top of his career, when he was working on building the Vatican and St. Peter's, did the Last Judgment.
All right. Michelangelo was born in 1475. He did the Pietà, famously, the sculpture David. When you look at that ceiling, what amazes you the most in that Sistine Chapel?
You know, what I often, you know, you were right, I got to be in there a lot on my own, even on my way to work in the morning on the office. I would stop in at times just to pray before the crowds would come in. And what always struck me was, imagine if, you know, you, wherever you're sitting right now, just imagine looking up at the ceiling and say, hey, you know, could you paint that for us? And then you're like, okay, it's coming up with the idea. Like, how did it occur to him? Say, you know what, I think I'm going to paint, you know, the first days of creation. I'm going to paint some faux walls and cornices to kind of put smaller canvas type blocks and triangles throughout this space. And then I'm going to decorate it with Old Testament prophets. And I'm going to put, like, just come up with the idea for me is the genius. And then the technical genius to actually paint it. But first is the idea, the concept, the inspiration, which I find the most fascinating.
We're talking to Father Mark Haidu. Realized that Sistine Chapel is 62 feet high. And for 4 years, Michelangelo every day went up on a scaffold and laid on his back 4 years to do that ceiling. A couple months ago, Father came to town and he gave a speech. Serving under three popes, my time in the Vatican. When we come back, we're going to ask him about serving under three popes. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Father Mark Haidu. 40 years ago, there was this commercial, E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. I'm telling you, when Father Mark Haidu talks, people listen. So, Father, you came. A bunch of us listened to you talking about serving under three popes, the first of which was the late, great St. John Paul II the Great. Talk about him.
Yeah, he's my favorite just because it was, you know, I first saw him in Detroit there when he came back in the 80s, right? And it's one of his first visits to the United States. And I always, from that time forward, I had that little idea, you know, someday I think I'm going to be in Rome. and it played out that way. He was the Pope that inspired my vocation when I went to Denver in 93. So many of us were inspired by him. But I had the pleasure of meeting him on multiple occasions and even started working in the Vatican as a tour guide of under St. Peter's while he was still Pope. And my favorite story, which I told, was being invited on Easter Day. I was asked to bring over an Easter basket to the Pope. The rector of our seminary would have dropped it off, but he was otherwise kind of engaged, and he just on his way to this appointment of someone who showed up at the seminary. Say, hey, I was going to go to the Vatican, drop this off. Can you run and do this for me? Sure. Off I went down to the Vatican, pulled in, said I had a Easter basket for the Pope. They brought me into a small courtyard where the elevator goes up to the papal apartments, and I'll just drop it off here, and they'll send it up at some point. And they said, no, hold on. Waited there a little bit, and then Monsignor Zivic, who was John Paul II's longtime secretary, later Archbishop and Cardinal of Krakow himself, came down, said, wow, that's too big a basket. You're going to have to carry that. So we got into the elevator together, went up, and then he said, hey, we'll carry this down the hall and put it in this room. Okay, so I followed them down a dark hall, and he opens the door, and I kind of back through it and turn around with the package to put it on a table. And right there is John Paul II having dinner with a Polish couple that he knew from his days of being a chaplain in the university. And so I was totally caught off guard, placed the basket down in front of him. And we had our great conversation there. He asked me where I was from, if I spoke English, obviously being an American. I said, yes. He asked me to say Happy Easter in English, and then in Spanish, and then in Italian, and invited me for some dessert. And then eventually I got told, time to get out. So I moved out. But it was a great encounter with him, brief, but very impactful to see his joy, his love, and even keeping up old friendships, which was a beautiful kind of human thing to witness.
When he passed, 5 million people came to Rome, you know, to see this man with no power, no possessions in that little pine box. All the leaders of the world came, the cardinals. Where were you?
I was right there on the altar as a seminarian. I got lucky because in one way.
That's a common theme in your life. You know that? I got lucky. Okay. I play golf. I got some guys that are hustlers, and they always tell me I got lucky. Okay.
I just happened to be covering the reception on the day of the funeral, actually, to let other seminarians go to the funeral. I was going to stay back, and I got a call from the Korean seminary next door, and they said, hey, the cardinal's here, Cardinal Sin, and everybody left, and there's no car, and he needs to get to the mass. You guys have a car. And I was the only one home, so I found some keys, grabbed the car, picked up the cardinal, and drove. And, and the police can have this safety kind of stops along your way to the Vatican. All the police saw this cardinal in the front seat and whisked us through, and before I knew it, I was at the side door of St. Peter's Basilica, parked the car, walked him into the sacristy amongst all the other cardinals, and he was somewhat elderly, so I thought the best thing was to stay with him, and I accompanied him in the procession, sat next to him on the altar, and witnessed the whole thing in person. So that was a graced moment, and even afterwards, you know, security, so many heads of state, they brought us into an empty St. Peter's Basilica, and there across the way was Tony Blair and Bush talking to one another, Vicente Fox, president of Mexico, taking pictures with his family, and I'm sitting there watching it all. So, yeah, there's some lucky and blessed moments.
We're talking to Father Mark Hadou, a Legionnaires of Christ, and we mentioned that they take a vow of poverty, chastity, obedience, and humility. So, Father, when you would be with all of your fellow Legionnaires, and they say, well, Father Mark, what's happened to you in the last 3 months? What would you say?
I guess I try to tell them a story or two to entertain, but then you have to ask them if you're humble. You ask them, hey, well, tell me your story.
All right. Okay. Then the second pope, Pope Benedict the 16th. Please.
Yeah, I was, again, following the theme of blessed to his personal secretary, Joseph Clemens, who was his secretary for 20 years before Georg Gainswein, who became maybe a little more famous because he was the secretary who followed him into the papacy, but Joseph Clemens, his personal secretary for about 20 years, came to our seminary in Dublin while I was there and to learn English. So I taught him English, and when I got back to Rome, we continued our friendship. And at those times, he would invite his boss, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, to dinner and invite me to come along as well. So had many chances to have dinner with Joseph Ratzinger when he was a prefect of the Congregation of Doctrine of the Faith at the time. And then he became Pope, and I was asked to work in the Vatican Museums at the Patron's Office. So had a few opportunities as well as he was Holy Father for dinners and just social encounters with him in a more intimate setting with his former secretary. So cherish those opportunities to be around a small table and listen to Pope Benedict. Talk about someone who was humble. He was for me, if I were to make a list of the most humble people I've ever met, he would be number one, I think. Just totally unassuming, very interested in other people, curious about people, even that disagreed. If there was a little bit of a conversation that was a disagreement at the table, he would get all excited to hear an opposing view. Like, it entertained him to have a new idea to wrestle with. Very humble, and lucky enough to have contact with Pope Benedict.
We're talking to Father Mark Haidu, H-A-Y-D-U. Father, Pope Francis, please.
Pope Francis, yeah. So he came in after the amazing and unexpected news of Pope Benedict stepping down. Again, huge act of humility. And then Pope Francis came in. We had known through the grapevine that he was probably the second vote getter in the previous conclave that elected Pope Benedict, but he still wasn't a very known entity in Rome, being that he was in the Southern Hemisphere there in Argentina, but came in. And what I most appreciated, obviously he challenged us in many ways, challenged at least the U.S. church and the more conservative side of the church, challenged liturgically, other things. But what I most appreciated was his love for the poor and his call to be kind of an outward-focused church, a church that's in mission, that's thinking of and seeing those who are in need or feeling more marginalized. And that personally challenged me. It wasn't a way I was always thinking, especially as I was working in the Vatican. But that challenged me. I had a few opportunities, whether it was in masses with him and then even one birthday party, probably I'd be a little proud to say it was my birthday party, but it did happen on my birthday, where my boss, Cardinal Bertello, invited me to a lunch with Pope Francis just a few months after he became Pope, just six of us there for lunch. So that was my best opportunity of spending a couple hours to understand, listen to, talk with Pope Francis.
We're talking to Father Mark Haidu. If you want to learn more, www.legionaires, L-E-G-I-O-N, A-I-R-E-S of Christ.org. When we come back, we're going to ask him about a priest from the south side of Chicago. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speaker Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohon. I'm Jack Kosula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Father Mark Haidu. Speaking of which, with God, anything is possible, Father. Who would have thought that a Father Robert Prevost from the south side of Chicago would change his name and now be known as Pope Leo the 14th? Tell us about the new Pope, please.
Yeah, that was certainly a surprise as an American who lived and worked in Rome for 16 years. I was often asked, hey, do you think there'll ever be an American Pope? And my answer was summoned to what I'd heard from so many others that I trusted. Nah, I don't think that's possible. You know, between the political superpower and the spiritual superpower being the same nationality, probably not going to happen. But here we are. And I was in Rome during the conclave, and only one person had hinted that he was a candidate. A woman I know there is a tour guide, so she hears a little bit of the scuttlebutt on the street, and she said, you know what, they're talking about this Cardinal Prevost, et cetera. So, yeah, unexpected, but I think what I've most appreciated, and it's been confirmed from people who work there closely with him, is his kind of stability, solidity, kind of thoughtful, purposeful, kind of decided demeanor. He brings a real security and confidence, I think, to the helm, right? Perhaps a sentiment that we needed to feel in a church is a certain kind, okay, there's clarity, and he's moving through and making decisions. Not making a ton of news. He's not one to be out there, you know, with quotes being turned into headlines, but it's like, hey, you know that somebody's there doing their job and on top of things, and he gives a real sense of stability. At least that's my first impression.
Also, you talk to Augustinians that know him, others, they all say, you know, he's soft-spoken and very humble.
Yeah, I've heard that. Very humble and a great listener. I had a priest friend who works for the Legionaries who, while he was a cardinal, Cardinal Prevost, went to see him to get his advice on an issue. And his comment was, I was amazed how much time he dedicated. He didn't just say, give me a few pieces of advice. He dug into the issue. He asked me to make a few phone calls in the moment to collect some more information. He really worked with me to find a solution, which shows a lot of humility. You can easily just like, yeah, listen, and then move on. But to really make someone else's challenge or problem your own and dedicate your time and energy says a lot about a person's character.
Loves the Chicago White Sox and loves the Bears, too, as well. So, all right. You've started a YouTube channel. When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. When Father Mark Haidu talks, Regnum, R-E-G-N-U-M, Christi, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-Y, Tri, T-R-I, dash, State. Regnum, Christi, N-Y, Tri-State. Talk about this weekly podcast YouTube channel that you have.
Yeah, this is doing that. Given that we preach a lot, my community of priests here, we have a couple parishes and in New York, and all of us are doing different things to serve. We decided to put all of our preaching up on a website, thus Regnum Christi, which is a spiritual family that the Legionaries of Christ are part of. We just named it, you know, Regnum Christi, NY for New York Tri-State, because of the three states around, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, where we minister. So Regnum Christi, NY Tri-State is the channel, and we put all of our preaching there. My particular contribution are my weekly homilies from my parish where I work on the weekends. And then a thing I'm particularly proud of is a Friday morning meditation. So I take the readings from Friday and I guide people through a mental prayer or meditation, because as a coach and a spiritual director of a lot of people, I notice how everyone is striving to have deeper, more meaningful prayer. And it's a challenge for everyone to make the time and then to, how do I structure the time? How do I go deeper in my prayer? And so this meditation that I guide is pulling back the curtain a little bit on my own prayer and my own dialogue with Jesus to model the way, so to speak, for those who are trying to go deeper in prayer.
The YouTube channel is Regnum Christi NY Tri-State. All right, since 2016, you're the national chaplain of Lumen Institute. Please.
Yes, I'm the chaplain of the Lumen Institute here in New York, and we have multiple chapters around the U.S. and even now some in Mexico and in Europe beginning, but I'm focused mostly on the New York tri-state area. And Lumen is a great effort of the Legionaries of Christ and Regnum Christi to evangelize the business world. And so we have members that usually from the most part from the C-suite or leadership positions in their government. And the reason being, we want to influence them. And by influencing one, you influence many. And so if we can influence them for the gospel, then we can affect all those that they serve. So through spiritual direction once a month, through small group meetings once a month that focus on virtues of leadership, faith, and character. And we encourage them with those two elements, their peer group as well as the one-on-one coaching, to bring the light of Christ into their business world, into their families, and thus we call it the Lumen Institute. So I love it. So what I love doing is forming apostles, forming people who find Christ and then bring his light into the world where they serve. And in this case, it's mostly business leaders.
As we wind down, can you lead us in a closing prayer as we start 2026, please.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, Jesus, we just thank you for all your gifts and your goodness, the way you guide and accompany each of us with your grace, your mercy, the way your love comes to us through those you surround us with, even the crosses and challenges that you permit that we learn from and grow from. We pray you'd increase our love, increase our faith, increase our hope, so that we can follow you more with more dedication and experience the fruits and the joy that comes from being dedicated to you. Pray a blessing on all those who listen. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit descend upon each and remain with you forever. Amen.
And be with Father Mark in this year. Guide him, direct him to do as much good and create as many apostles as he can throughout America. Thank you, Father.
Thanks, Jack.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Pasula. Thanks for listening. Make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoke.